pond.
Pond.
Yeah, pond. You said bond twice.
I'm a little congested, so I'm stammering through bond. My words.
Amy Bond.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I do not know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we're at Series 5, Episode 2, The Beast Below.
Yes, The Beast Bellow.
Who's a good bellow?
A bellow is like a sound. You go, yeah, The Beast Bellow. Does the beast bellow or does it not bellow?
That's the Cassie Professy today.
Do you or do you not feel bellow?
This is our first real adventure, because we met them in the last episode, but it's our first adventure with the 11th Doctor
and his companion Amy Pond.
What might you be expecting from the beast below?
So picture this.
Okay.
London.
Okay.
On top, underneath that, some kind of craggly monster.
Well, I will tell you this. This episode takes place in the future.
So imagine London in the future.
And you are sort of right. They are on the Starship UK is where this story takes place.
Heck yes. I get a part of a point for that.
into
the bucket you go.
Into the half point bucket you go.
The shard bucket.
The beast below is at, as you can probably tell, at the bottom of the Starship UK. So for the Cassie Professy today, would you like to guess what kind of beast is below?
A badger.
Badger.
Well, I was going to say bullet, and then I went, that's a D&D thing. But I don't feel like it is far off from, like, a D&D bullet.
Okay, so you're thinking some kind of, like, digging creature.
Yeah, well...
mole or a...
Well, I say that now, and I remember that we're on a ship, so maybe not a digging creature. I've just been thinking about badgers a lot.
Mushroom.
I'm just going to go with that because now I have taught myself a very valuable and important lesson of if I go back and forth too much and if I landed on what was actually the right answer, but I pick something different, I usually get very angry.
Gotcha. All right.
So yeah, we're going to go with some kind of like burrowing creature.
Okay.
Maybe not as big as like a badger or a bullet, but something that is like either underground or in the walls.
Okay.
I think that you can give me at least that.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I went for some kind of digging creature. Just, I mean, that could definitely be a problem on a starship, having a creature that's digging through the walls.
Yeah, rats, they do that too.
Yeah.
So I could have even said a rat-like creature.
The rat below deck.
The rats below.
The doctor versus the rat.
My God. The one rat that caused the Black Plague, which, by the way, it was actually gerbils.
Underneath the doctor's bow tie, he's getting ratatouille.
No, he's being controlled by like a cockroach.
And so for the second part of the Professy today.
Something that refuses to be killed.
The
cannot die.
The security force on, or the security system might be a better way of putting it, on the
bunch
Starship
of cockroaches.
On the Starship what? UK are called Smilers.
Ew.
And the Smilers are little robots in booths. Part of them changes throughout the process of them being the security force. There's a better term for it than that, but I can't think of what it is right now. But people watching know what I'm talking about. What is it you think about them changes?
First guess, mouth.
Their mouth.
Something mouthy on them changes.
They are called Smilers, so that would make sense.
Yeah. Again, we're starting a new thing of first item up for bid. First thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, we're starting the new Cassie believes her first thoughts because they yes. she has often been right.
Yes.
All righty. Well, with that, we have the Profassi locked in. So why don't you and I check out Series 5, Episode 2, The Beast Below.
Oh, but it's just one beast, not several. Huh. Oh, well.
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Seal of Approval Ice Cubes.
Now listen here. My name is Alfred Thelonious Higginbottom, and I have paid many a poverty-stricken adventurer to provide you with the freshest, coldest ice cubes pressed by my colony of enslaved elephant seals. Everyone knows the best way to make proper cubes of ice is to make a seal press it into shape with its dumb little flippers they call hands. If they didn't want to be enslaved, they'd grow opposable thumbs like my father did. Now, some have tried to tell me that taking ice from these glaciers will rapidly exacerbate climate change, and I have told those people not to interrupt me while I'm rich! Seal of Approval Ice Cubes, because nothing says refreshing like the tears of a baby seal.
And we are back from the Beast Below.
Hello, Will.
Yes, that was the Beast Below is a star whale. So no point on that one.
Not at all burrowing.
Nope.
Like not even kind of.
Yeah, nope. Not even. Not doesn't even touch dirt really, unless it's
tentacles. Technically, are burrowing through the walls.
But I would say that I think it's probably fair to say it's pretty far from a badger or a mole
or a rat
or anything that lives in the dirt. But you do get you do get a little treat at the end there with the silhouette of one of your nasty boys.
Oh my God, with the silhouette of another one of my nasty boys.
Yes, you see the look on your face was quite enjoyable when you were like Winston Churchill and the Daleks.
I mean, that's jumping way to the end. I will say, though, if we want to jump into one of my things is I feel like we're moving fast.
In what way?
I don't know. It's just it was specifically the line of like or it's Amy's whole arc in this and repeating the this is a being that's very old, very kind and the last of its kind. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Like, girl, you just.
You're still wearing the same clothes he picked you up in.
Like, I don't want to say that you just met because you knew him when you were six. And so there is a part of me that understands, like, there's a good chance that she weaved a narrative in her head all those years. Mm-hmm. Years, not yeared. All those years. And it was correct. The narrative that she made or the imaginary friend that she thought she created was 100% accurate and correct, which, you know, this particular Matt Smith's doctor is a kook. He's a wily boy. So I can understand as a little 6-year old seeing somebody like that, yeah, with the hair of an idiot. Seeing somebody like that weaving together this narrative and then as an adult going, oh, I was right. I was so very correct. So there is a part of me that wants to stand by my statement of I think it's moving a little fast. I think I need to counter myself with because I did forget as I was writing my notes that Amy and the doctor had met when she was a child.
Well, I would say that I do think her image of the doctor is accurate but incomplete, if that makes sense. Like, she has a very good, like, broad stroke of him being a heroic figure, but clearly she does not know a lot of other information about him.
Well, no, she doesn't know any of the lore, but the broad strokes are very old, very kind, and the last of its kind.
Yeah, she learned that he is the last of the Time Lords in this episode.
And at the very least, she knows that he is very old and very kind.
Yeah, he knows that
And those two things would have been something that she learned very early on.
Because he was kind to her as a child, so.
And he is older than her.
He is 900-something years old. I will say that in regards to you saying that this moves a little fast, Stephen Moffat is on record saying this is not his favorite script of his that he wrote for the show. And I'm inclined to agree. I don't think it's terrible, but I'm inclined to agree that it's very messy. There's a lot of like, OK, this is kind of neat. But if you scratch away at like enough of the surface, you're like that. It's also really weak.
Because conceptually, it's about time we get giant space creature that carries the civilization on its back.
Yeah,
because that is a tale as old as time. We're not on a giant blue marble. We're on a giant turtle.
Beauty and the Beast below.
I could see you prepping that with your little.
I got a joke for you.
Yeah, but you're being good this time. Do you like it? Waiting. But that concept of humanity is built on the back of a beast is not something that is a new idea. But that just leaves it open for interpretation from any source. And I was really curious to see when we would get it from a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, I do agree. That's a really interesting idea. I also really like the idea of this episode being, you know, this is basically about justifying bringing Amy along. Like, what is it about Amy that makes her worthy of being a companion where previous characters like Adam aren't? Where they might come along for an adventure, but they get abandoned immediately after.
How dare you bring up Adam?
Well, he's a good reference point for characters.
Mickey is a fair reference point. Adam sucks.
That was the thing. Adam sucks. Amy doesn't. That's the comparison I'm making. Is basically they justify here why Amy is coming along for reasons beyond just, oh, the doctor met her when she was six and he feels bad about it. That's certainly a justification to bring her along to something, but not necessarily enough to carry her
like
for a whole season.
Like a birthday party.
Yeah, exactly. A pre-wedding present, as it were. I will say, there's a lot of good, like, individual lines in it that I really enjoy.
Like, never interfere with other people's business or planets unless it's children crying.
Yes. I do really enjoy the moment of, we are observers only. Cut to 5 seconds later, he's already interfering.
Which, like, I don't disagree. If I see a child crying and there's not a parent in sight, I leap into action. The maternal side of me jumps out, which also makes me laugh thinking about how the doctor also has a maternal side.
Another one that I like is that Scott, this is Starship UK. It's got Great Britain and Wales and Northern Ireland on it, but it doesn't have Scotland because Scotland wanted their own ship. To which Amy goes, things never change.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about Mother Doctor.
I also really like the line, I'm getting married a long time ago tomorrow morning.
God, what a statement.
You're right. Another one that sits with me, especially right now, being October of 2024, which is every 5 years, everyone chooses to forget. Every 5 years, everyone votes to forget what they've learned. Democracy in action. Ain't that what it feels like? Every few years, we just forget whatever happened a few years ago.
I legitimately had to sit myself down yesterday and really think about how old I was. Because I'm not going to bring it up on here, but I was talking to somebody who is older than me. And I had to say, I said the statement of, in my head, I'm 22. I recognize I am not near that age. I'm not as close to that age as I feel like I am. Mm-hmm. And every year that ticks by, I get farther and farther away, but I still feel like I'm 22.
Yeah, I still feel like I'm 24 a lot of the time. That's the age that just seems to have stuck in my brain, even though I am 32.
Yeah, something happened when I was 22
and stunted your growth. That's when your biological clock was, or not bio, what do they call it?
Emotional clock.
No, Queen Elizabeth says that her aging has been stopped for when she's like 30,
40.
Yeah.
What, you're 50 now? No way.
Yeah. They slowed my body clock. He's been looking like the stamps.
Oh, another line that you really seem to enjoy was when they land in the Star Whale's mouth. And Amy goes, we're in a mouth. And the doctor goes, but on the plus side, roomy.
I think that got me because it did feel like a you line.
me and my like nearing toxic positivity whenever we're in a bad situation.
Yeah, when you have to jump into overdrive to make sure that I will get levity at something's expense.
One that feels really good. One that made me laugh was, this isn't going to be big on dignity as they're about to get thrown up. Well, the script has some really good beats in it. Like we've been
doing. The script has some really neat concepts.
Yeah.
The idea of nations being built upon the back of a beast, but it is also a police state.
Yeah.
And the police are these horrifying, gross automaton demon.
Yeah. The Zoltars that tell you the future, and your future is you're going to hell.
Yeah, Zoltars that tell you the future. You're either a child and you'll be okay, or you get dropped down a shaft into the mouth of a whale.
Yeah, the part that one of the things that seems quite one of those things that seems like maybe they should have thought about a little bit more is the beginning, where there's a child that says, "Oh, you got a zero on your test. You can't take the elevator. You gotta take the stairs." Because if you're a child who failed a test, they send you into the mouth of a beast. What?
Yeah. I wish that there had been a bigger justification for him meeting that demise.
Yeah, like if he had done like some, like, you know, I'm a kid and I'm going to steal like from this market.
You very clearly are seeing him doing, because I know this is an American thing, but like, you know, copying something over and over again, like like Bart Simpson at the beginning of the Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know, that when I was a kid, I got in trouble. I had to write the poem, and you'll see how well I remembered this poem. Spoiler alert, I didn't. But it was the one from Alice in Wonderland, the "How Doth the Little Crocodile Improve His Shining Tail."
Mm-hmm.
I had to reiterate that and write it out, I think 50 times.
Oof.
I got in trouble.
Well,
but if you had seen him doing something like that, like he was writing something, you know, zoom in on him saying like, "I shall not tell lies," something like that. Well, I guess they do have that in the UK because that's from Harry Potter, not Peter Potter.
Peter Potter and the Magician's Rock.
Peter Potter and the Boy Who Will Never Die.
Peter Potter and the Really Hot Cup.
Peter Potter and all his lost friends.
Peter Potter and Harrison Ford in The Fugitive.
Peter Potter stars in Death Becomes Her. Also starring Meryl Streep.
I think really it might have just been better if it felt like the punishment was more justified.
Yeah, if it wasn't just he failed the test.
Yeah, he got a zero. So he goes down the chute. I
do see them making it like an attitude score, because yeah, it was like, "Good girl, Angela. Well done, Theodore." But that also just sounds like,
this kid's a little shit, send him to hell.
Yeah, it sounds like the accolades you get at the end of a like decent school day.
Yeah.
And not, like, the stakes aren't high. It wasn't like, he failed his final exam. Detention. Forever!
Yeah. Especially because they established that there's, like, this marketplace that they run through. I think it could have been more justified if he was, like, a little scamp who, like, stole an apple or something. And like
one jump.
Yeah, like, he steals something. Not necessarily because he needs it, just because he's being a kid, yeah, who wants to act out.
Who wants to show off in front of this girl who's very clearly like, "No, no, no, you'll get in trouble."
Yeah, and then he runs into the elevator, and then that happens because he committed a crime. Like, irrespective of whether or not he's a child in that moment, the cyborg elevator robot Zoltar demon just goes, "Oh, you committed a crime, so we punish you with the poop chute."
With the mouth hatch.
The mouth hatch. The tooth chute.
Well, because there are these holes that are seemingly drilled into the, like, roof of this poor creature's mouth.
Yeah.
Because when they get like shot into the mouth. They are not walking into between the teeth. Yeah. They are actively already inside of the mouth.
Yeah, they're by the uvula at that point.
Yeah.
Which
they have gone full monster of the whale.
It is kind of amusing just to think about, because there only seem to be one little chute that they came out of.
There were several, though. You could see them lined all the way up and down.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Because there were those little red lights around them, and you can see them, okay, like, down the line.
But they all are clearly in the Star Whale's mouth.
Yes.
So I do have to wonder if you get in trouble at, like, the back of the ship, are you just in that slide for a really long time? It's like a water slide that goes on for way too long.
Now, tell me this. If you get in trouble at the back of the ship, are you going out towards the front near the mouth, or do they just...
Is it a poop chute then?
Yeah. Do you just get shot out into space? That's what I need to know.
Well, because that was the thing. They were sending them down there basically to be food for the Star Whale. So I would have to imagine that everything would have to land in the mouth, or maybe something would land in the stomach and just be directly fed to them that way. Mm. But at least the implication was that they were feeding the Star Whale.
Well, because it was feeding people to the Star Whale, and then also organic matter. So I imagine that's what that is, like compost.
Yeah. I also, just to go, just after that intro sequence, we see Amy floating about just outside the TARDIS, being held by the ankle with her hair doing something. I mean, it's clearly meant to be like floating in space, but I think they just had her like
lie on her back. Yeah.
Well, they had her on some wires and then shoved a lawnmower behind her, not a lawnmower, a leaf blower behind her hair, and just went, this will work.
She at least didn't have Ariel's ice cream hair in the Little Mermaid ride at Disneyland. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It is nice to have these little moments where they can step outside the TARDIS. They don't do a ton of that.
Because it does look a little silly.
Yeah, well, so especially because I feel like it's difficult to really grasp the TARDIS being bigger on the inside from the outside of it. You know what I mean? Because we don't have any frame of reference for how something would look like that. So I think our brain just sort of it just looks weird to our brain.
It also just looks weird in general. Because we don't really have, well, at least 2010 didn't have awesome ways of showcasing people floating in space.
Yeah. Not without great expense. I know the movie Gravity filming about that. I would have to think it was filming about that time, because I think the movie came out in 2012. Mm-hmm. A lot of that was filmed underwater to capture that. And so, but that's crazy expensive to do for a Doctor Who budget. So close enough. I don't expect you to stick Karen Gillan in a tank. You did fine.
I do. I need to see her being wet all the time.
So make her a fish person.
Something about her being damp. Don't at me.
I do like that she says she calls the Doctor her imaginary friend, and then says that when she grew up, he came back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cute little moment. Just below the TARDIS is the Starship UK, which we learn is there because the Earth is being hit by solar flares that make the planet too hot to be inhabited.
Ah, too hot. Too hot to handle.
And so they construct this ship around the Star Whale that will carry them through the stars.
Well, because the Star Whale came to them as if by miracle.
I do sort of like that. It is funny that I guess that just throughout the years they forgot that the Star Whale was like, yeah, sure, just build stuff on me.
Because I'll carry you through space.
Yeah, it showed up. It is interesting that it showed up specifically because it heard the children crying. Which clearly this creature lives for hundreds and hundreds of years. So I wonder how it perceives children.
It hears the children crying way off in the distance. Just way. It thinks it's another whale.
And then.
Way.
What the? It sounds just like my cry.
I need to be careful because these are the noises I used to call Bailey.
And so they've built this ship around the Star Whale, which they established that it's the last of its kind. So I have to wonder what the other countries are using for their ships.
Turtles, dolphins.
There's a whole space menagerie.
I mean, we all know what Scotland is using for their space monster.
A dragon?
No, they got her out of the Loch Ness. She returned.
Oh, Scottish Cassie, what are you doing here?
I came to change my fate.
Change your feet?
No, my feet.
Your what you want, like hooves or?
It's not funny. No, it's not funny. I've got school. You've seen that video, yeah? No, it's not funny. I've got school. Jeez. That one lives in my head rent free all the time.
I don't feel like we need to go over this story beat by beat.
Disgusting. Last one.
Yeah, I don't feel like we need to go over this story beat by beat. So we could probably just go over our.
No, I do like the Phantom of Agatha Harkness that we get introduced to.
Queen Elizabeth X.
Liz 10.
Yeah, she is credited as Liz 10. Another thing where it's like if you scratch the surface of that a little bit, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense that she's there. On the one hand, kind of a neat idea that he feels like in, you know, several centuries, the royal line will at some point get over their fucking racism and have a black descendant.
She was so pretty, too.
She was very pretty. So do you know where the British monarchy gets its power from?
Parliament.
Sort of. There's two places the British monarchy maintains their authority from. One is basically just the faith of the British people. As long as the British people are okay, are
as
broadly
long as
okay.
The British people wake up every morning and say, royal family, they live by fairy rules. They have to clap to stay alive.
I do believe in royal birthrights. as long as the British people don't basically push to abdicate the kings and queens, they maintain their power. But the actual like tangible parts of their power come from the fact that they own the land that is the country and they lease it out to Parliament, to the people of Britain. The land is their property and that is effectively where their power comes from. So when you take them off that land and put them onto a ship, I don't know that they would last. I don't know that there would still be a monarchy anymore.
Fantastic.
Unless the queen is like, I own the big fish that we're on.
I feel like that's not what happened.
There's also a very real chance that they just picked up they laid the dirt on the Star Whale just so they could continue saying the queen owns
the land.
We'll
pick up Europe and put it over here.
There was a really good one good moment that I enjoyed after the Star Whale vomits them up into they said it was some kind of like overflow tube. That's another one where I'm like, you just didn't have a way for them to get out of here. You liked the idea of them making doing the Monstro Pinocchio make the whale sneeze, but because they're in space, they can't just like float under the ocean. They would float into the vacuum and die. So you sort of wrote, oh, they should appear. And I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
I will remind you what you told me when we started the series. This Doctor Who, then not a lot of it will make sense.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes they. Sometimes
you just have to wave logic out at the window.
Yeah. That's one of those where it's like I will accept it for now. I will also acknowledge that was lazy. That was lazy writing. You didn't think you could.
I wouldn't call it lazy as much as it is a like. There was a problem and yo, they did not solve it.
Yeah. Well, I do like that because when they're in this hallway where the only option to get back onto the ship is to forget what happened, at the other end of the hallway are two of the Smiler machines. And so the doctor is like, what are you going to do? Stick your tongue out at me? And their response is to stand up. Like, that's a good beat, I think.
So we didn't really talk a lot about Amy being in the like voting booth.
Yeah, that is probably a big moment to talk
and
about.
And her video to herself of, I urge you to get the doctor off this ship. Like, when was that video made? And also the video by the end of the episode was completely irrelevant because Amy is the one that decides ultimately to abdicate.
There is to save
the whale.
It's something of a little. I mean, I would have to assume that the video they play for you is propagandized a little bit to make people.
No, but it's the video of herself talking to herself.
Oh, so what I mean is, there were three buttons she was put in front of. There was protest, forget, and in the middle is a button to record.
Yes.
So while she was in that, like watching the video before she hits forget, she recorded that message for herself.
That feels like a leap.
It feels like a leap. Why? That's the thing. I don't understand why there's a button to record. That isn't because why would you want to record something and then give them the option to forget when they could just record what they're going to forget and then hit the button and remember and basically bypass the whole thing? That's another one of those where you're like, why?
I think it's solely so that way they could have the video of Liz 10 talking to herself.
Yes.
And this was a justification as to how and why that could happen.
Yeah, which we don't need justification. She's the fucking queen. She could have just said, bring a camera in here. Like, that's one of those things where you didn't need to reverse that justification. What I feel like it was is she wanted there to be, is Moffat wanted there to be a big, like, the doctor has to get out of here. It's dangerous now, that, like, try to raise the stakes artificially. But instead, what he wrote doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They would put a record button right next to a forget button. Like, those are two.
I think that's why I so oftentimes forget everything, because we do press the record button here and right next to that record button is a forget button. So that way when we bring up episodes from the past, I go, what? I think there's a secret forget button next to every record button. That's all I'm saying, Zach.
And so we, but that it does come back as an interesting point where, so the video ultimately is supposed to feed back into part of the ending where the doctor even says, you pushed the forget button, but you left yourself a message to get me off because you knew this choice would have to be made. And you know, this is an impossible choice. You didn't want me to know about this. And you don't have the right to tell me what I can and cannot know.
Nobody human can talk to me today.
Yeah, well, because he's pissed that he feels in the moment that he has to lobotomize a space whale, the last of its kind, to save.
He's the last of his kind.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a part of it where it's like, okay, I get what you're going for. I don't know that you needed to do this much heavy lifting.
It feels really fast, like too soon, too fast.
Yeah, I do.
It's like, I'm not going to lie. I'm delighted. I am delighted that we're getting, that I get a Dalek episode every season of this show. I am so happy. I get my Nasty Boys once every couple months. However, the second episode feels too fast.
Yeah, I feel like there should have been one episode between them. Like, that's really all it needed, was just a little bit of a gap to, I appreciate wanting to get to, like, why Amy works as a companion as quickly as possible. There is a part of me that feels like I think maybe their dynamic should have been fleshed out a bit more before they pushed it to that kind of breaking point at the end of this episode.
I don't even want there to be like a beach episode, because even for Donna, one of the first episodes was Pompeii. The stakes were so high for that.
Yeah, but even that wasn't her second episode, though. Well, actually, I take that back. I guess it was technically her second episode as the season companion, because they did come after Partners in Crime. But I think because of the Runaway Bride, it feels like her third episode.
Well, and it's Partners in Crime was her and Tennant, like, reuniting.
Yeah, so there's a part of it where that dynamic had already been sort of established and we could feel it. The first episode, because so much of it is the Doctor just dropping in on these moments of her life, we don't really get a feel for how they work together.
Yeah, because he appeared and then disappeared and then years later came back.
And then disappeared again and then 2 years later came back again.
So It would have been nice. I don't even want to say fluff, but just something.
If there was maybe something, I don't know if it should be something lower stakes or
even if it was just more time in the TARDIS, where it's her having a moment of like finding the wardrobe and picking out her outfit.
You know what I think part of it is? Thinking about the Pompeii
fashion montage. That's all I was going to say. Continue.
America's Next Top Doctor.
You better work. Cover girl. Work it, girl. Give it to her.
You know what I think part of it is,
Lizzie
too?
Lizzie McGuire that movie fashion montage. Doctor and Amy. I'm done.
So what I think part of it is, especially in relation to the Pompeii part, at that point, we had already had the 10th Doctor for 3 seasons. We know his vibe. The 11th Doctor we've had for a single episode. So we don't really even know how he fully works yet. We know a little bit about it from that first episode, but there's not that strong, like, okay, it's not that we needed to know how Donna affected the Doctor. We kind of also need to know how the Doctor just operates. This new Doctor operates. So there's a part of me that appreciates that he made a choice about, like, I need to further these characters' stories along on top of just telling stories. Because I feel like that was a lot of Davies' run didn't really have that. A lot of Davies' run really was just like, and now they're doing, now they're on a spaceship with the sun and they're answering trivia questions. There wasn't a lot of like really deliberate furthering of character.
Most of the first David Tennant season, like, I have a hard time saying that, yes, David Tennant is my Doctor, because I didn't like the first 2 seasons of David Tennant.
Except for Blink. That was an exception.
Yeah, but even that's a Dr. Light episode.
That's fair.
That's a Diet Dr. Light.
Yeah, so I do think part of it is just, I think they needed something to, especially because that first story is so much of Matt Smith figuring himself out. Matt Smith's Doctor, rather, figuring himself out, because he says he's still cooking quite a bit throughout that episode. I think it would have been nice to see him, like, in his
fully
element.
Cooked.
Yeah, fully cooked for a whole episode before we had this sort of, like, strain. But I do think that, by all accounts, it's still a fine episode. There's just, because it's got some good, like, high concepts, like the UK, like Starship UK being on the back of a whale. And it's got some good little moments, like those lines that we were mentioning before. But there's these, like, parts in the middle where they're not quite the high concepts, not quite the moment to moment, but there's like just little strokes that
it's kind of like when you're cooking, we'll say like a chicken pot pie.
Mm-hmm.
Like overall, pot pie is great, but individually, like maybe you used frozen vegetables instead of fresh. Maybe you just didn't put in enough salt.
Yeah.
And so over conceptually, the chicken pot pie is still chicken pot pie. It's a decent pie. But if you take apart the individual concepts, it's like your gravy was lumpy.
Yeah.
The crust wasn't as flaky as it could be. There's just some things that were not exactly as tasty as they could be.
Yeah.
Unrelated. Do we want to do chicken pot pie? I'm a little hungry.
Well, maybe we can decide that between now and the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Ring, ring. Hello, Zach. It's Marie Callender's. I'm putting in an order right now for chicken pot pie. Do you want one?
Well, first we have to watch Victory of the Daleks.
Hooray. We'll put in another pot pie for the Daleks. Thank you. Click. I hung up the phone. Click.
Another episode now is done. While short, we hope you've had some fun. Be sure to subscribe and leave a like, or perhaps a review if you're feeling nice. To follow or send us an online thought, just look for us at WhimDePod. Next week is Daleks to shock and amaze, so we'll see you then. Tuesdays are Whose Days.